The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt.
When the storm around you rages, and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, and not sure which way to go,
when the enemy surrounds you and the walls are closing in, when the tide is swiftly rising and you wonder where He's been,
friend, there's never been a moment when His arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still. God moves. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. Stand still and let God move.
Austin is the new course of the month. I know it's still the last, I hope.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us, shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory, mirrored here. May our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on. And mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be life. One more time. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Blow, river, blow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Amen. Thank you for singing that with me. That should be. We want God to send forth his word. And how he sends it forth is by whose hand? Our hand and our lips. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. We're sending forth, and we are to do that. And praise the Lord. All right, take your Bibles with me, please, to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. The first two verses that are given here says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us." Stop right there. We have here an emphasis that is given. He's saying, in a sense there, had it not been for the Lord. Now get this. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side. All right. So he's making an emphasis here in the statement. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. In other words, the waters there is talking about the waters of affliction. The problems of life would have overflowed us, etc. there. There are many examples that are given and reasons for Israel to rejoice and to praise God. God being for them, and God going before them, and God producing so many miracles for them is one of those things. And we see some examples in Scripture. If you remember, there when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and Moses had been sent to bring them out of Egypt, and Pharaoh would not let them go. It was through the 10th plague there that God gave victory for them to be released from the bondage there in Egypt and to be delivered. That was something to give praise for. Passover is all about that, as Israel celebrated over the years, remembering what God had done in delivering them. And it was a reason to give praise unto the Lord. As they went out into the wilderness wanderings there, one of the first things that they came to in difficulty was the Red Sea. And Egypt's army, Pharaoh's army, coming up against them. And God parted the Red Sea there and let them cross on dry ground. And then as the Pharaoh's army essayed to do so, God let the waters come down and drown and kill the entire army there in the Red Sea. That was a reason to give praise and thanks unto the Lord. God providing food and water for them while they were in the wilderness wanderings there for 40 years was also another reason. And God giving victory in battles as they came into the promised land. All of these were areas in which God went before them and God fought for them and God provided for them. And they had great reason to give praise and to rejoice before the Lord. Even the nation of Israel today, had it not been for God, they would not exist as a nation today. There's been so many in the world, so many nations in the world that has risen up against Israel and wanted to annihilate them completely, and yet God has given them deliverance and has preserved them unto this day. And it is that which He will continue to do according to Scripture and prophecy that we have. And so all these and many other examples are the reasons that they have for giving thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. There are many other examples in the Bible, but my question to you this morning is, what about you in your life? Had it not been for the Lord, how would you finish that statement of testimony in your life? You think a moment here and just take a moment to think about it. If I were to say, each person, we're going to go around the room and I'm going to say, had it not been for the Lord, and then you finish that and give just a brief word of testimony in your life of what God did, what would you say? Or would you have to say, you know, I know He's done many things, but I can't think of anything right now. My question would be, maybe we need to think about what God has been doing in our life a little bit more. It ought to be something that we think about and say, Lord, I want to recall the things that You've done in my life. I want to think about how Your hand has been good and blessed in my life and delivered me, etc. there. So I want us to look at some areas as we may praise God for His intervention in our lives today. And I'm going to share some things, a lot of it from my life and Vicki's life and some of it just in a general way. But testimony, had it not been for the Lord, so that we can see, and maybe some of these things will help you to look into your life and see the hand of God working in you. And that's what I want to take place. Father, I pray that as we look into this message this morning, I pray that You would help us, me, Lord, first of all, to be able to share very clearly and plainly the things that You've laid upon my heart. I pray that You would bind Satan and his demons from being able to in any way disrupt both outwardly, corporately in this service or individually in somebody's mind. Father, help us to concentrate upon Your truth. Lord, I pray that we would also be looking for these areas in our own life of Your hand at work. And Father, that we may praise and give thanks unto You in a great way. Thank You for what You have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Had it not been for God, who was with me in difficulty, I could say. Now, when I read this passage here, one of the first things that popped out in my mind is in verse 4 there. It says, then the waters had overwhelmed me if the Lord had not been with me. Back in 1982, all right, that's going back for some of you. In 1982, I'd been in the ministry for 2 years out of college in a foreign place. It was called Fruitport, Michigan. I don't hope anybody from Michigan up here. But being a North Carolina guy, that was a long way away from home, up around Muskegon, Michigan there. And about 15 hours away from Mother and Dad that had moved up here to Virginia by that time. And about 12 hours away from Vicky's mom and dad there close to Niagara Falls, if it went through Canada. And we were a long ways away from anybody that we knew. David, my second son, had just been born as we got up there in Michigan, and didn't make a lot of money. Matter of fact, we were so poor, we thought we were going to not make it at all. Well, then the recession hit in 1982, and around that time, and around 1981, I guess it was, it hit. And then by 1982, the church was having a lot of financial problems, and they said, well, you know, it was a big church, around 500. They had several pastors, and I was the youth pastor that was brought on, and since I was brought on last, I was the first one laid off. And so I got laid off in the ministry there because of the finances. And we had, you know, a wife, two kids, a car payment, no home. And so in a great way, no savings, nothing like that. We were homeless. And so I turned to my mom and dad and said, hey, you know, can we come munch off of y'all for a while? And we stayed with them for a few months and with Vicky's parents for a few months while we were looking for the next ministry that God would have us in. And it took about 6 months there before the Lord opened the door. And I was praying and said, Lord, you know, I'm serving you. I got prepared. I feel like you called me into the ministry. You know, what's going on? And the difficulties were there. But it was during that time that God gave me this passage that came out of what I was reminded of here. And it's found over in Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, there was a song that two girls that were visiting Mom and Dad's church that we were in at the time there, and they sang the song based on this passage here, and I got the cassette tape. I know that's a little bit before some of your time, but I got the cassette tape, and I would play it every morning. I had a temporary job down at the golf course cutting grass. I had to be there at 5:30 in the morning to get started, and I'd play it on the way down there. And the passage reads, it's talking to Jacob here, verse 1, and God says, I'm the one that created you, O Jacob, there, who hath formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Now, this specifically is talking to Jacob, to Israel, to the Jews specifically could be applied. But it also, I believe, in principle applies to us. We are also called by God's name. We are redeemed by Him. And so in principle, we would read verse 2 there, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And again, this is not talking about the literal water of rivers, but the water of affliction. By the way, before I go any further, I hope you don't mind, but about ruining this jacket a couple of weeks ago, and sweating through is not good for a jacket. Anyway, it's not talking about the literal waters. It's talking about the waters of affliction, of difficulty, the stresses of life that come their way, things that we may not understand while we're going through. And had it not been for the Lord seeing us through that time, I may not be in the ministry today. There have been a lot of men that have gone through difficulties and trials and begin to question whether or not they were really called and abandoned that idea and just went into regular business and has missed what God maybe had originally called them to. But God showed Himself through that. In verse 3 it says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with thee." That's God's promise to us as believers today. Verse 7, "Even every one of that is called by my name." I'm called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore I have created him for my glory." And that's exactly what a lot of times the situations in our life, the difficulties in our life, come so that we may rely upon the Lord, see his hand of deliverance and give praise unto him. And I do that this morning. And every time I read in this passage, I'm reminded of what God did. And that's a great blessing. So had it not been for God who was with me in difficulty, secondly, if it had not been for God who sent someone to tell us of Jesus, here could be a whole lot of us in here this morning in this case, because it's not too many people that just pick up a Bible on their own and read through it and get saved. Most people have someone that God sends their way. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher or a vacation Bible school worker. It could be a youth ministry worker. It could be a pastor or a missionary or evangelist. It could be a friend or a neighbor. If it had not been for the Lord sending that person, would you be saved today? You know, when you trusted Christ and it led to your salvation there. I think back in my family, and I think if it had not been for God sending a neighbor two doors down to my parents, who at the time we were going to a church, but it was not teaching the truth of God's Word. We were not hearing the genuine truth of the gospel. And it was that neighbor, this man and this woman, that invited my mom and dad to come over to their house and set them down and taught them the Word of God, the basic truths, and the gospel and so forth. And I believe mom and dad had been genuinely saved at that before that, but it was through that that they began to see that the church that we were in was not teaching sound doctrine and that we needed to get in another church. And so from that, we got into another church, and in that church is where I heard for the first time the reality that I personally needed to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's when I got saved. Had it not been for the Lord sending those neighbors to work with my parents, we would have never got into that other church, and I may have never gotten saved. I've told the story before when I was in the Methodist church there that was not teaching at that point. I was baptized. I have a certificate saying that I was baptized on my way to heaven. But I would tell you that if I would have died at that point, I'd be in hell today. I've been in church all my life. I believed in God all I can remember. But I had never personally asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. And it's that personal choice to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what salvation is according to God's Word. And that's when I heard, and so had it not been for God, where would I be today? And you could say the same thing. Every one of you that have been saved can say, if it had not been for God intervening in your life and that you got saved, where would you be today? What would your life be like without Jesus Christ? And then thirdly, had it not been for God who directed us to sound teaching and loving interest by teachers, from that church there in Danville, Virginia, that where I got saved, Dad was working in Danville, and God, I believe, convinced, caused him to be transferred to Rocky Mount, North Carolina at that time. And it was through that that my family got into Falls Road Baptist Church there in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And through the preaching and teaching of Dr. Hamrick and his son Frank Hamrick in the youth ministry, it was through that ministry that God encouraged me and taught me and brought me to the point where he called me into the ministry. And so I look back and think, if I had stayed in Danville, Virginia, I'm not saying that there's no good churches in Danville, Virginia. I'm sure that there are. As a matter of fact, I know of one. But at the same time, we were not in that particular church. We were in one that I got saved from, but it was not the one that God wanted us in to be prepared. And so from that standpoint, God moved us there, and not only did we get the sound teaching of these two men, but Frank Hamrick poured himself into us teenagers. And it made a difference. It really did. Sorry about that. But it changed our lives. And so those type of teachers that you know that love you and are not just going through and doing their ministry to get it over with, but they spend the time outside of class and they check on you and follow up, that makes all the difference in the world. And that is what touched my heart in such a great way. So God directed, if it had not been for God directing us to a sound church there with sound teaching and loving interest by the teachers there. What a difference that made. By the way, also, Dr. Hamrick, W.D. Hamrick, before he came to Rocky Mount, was a pastor in West Virginia. Guess where Vicki was born? Guess who was her parents and her pastor before they moved to New York and Pastor Hamrick came to Rocky Mount? And it was the same man. So her family had the same pastor as my family had later there when we went to Rocky Mount. And so the sound teaching there affected both of us there in a great way. Had it not been for God, though, number four, who heard our prayers and answered. Vicki tells a testimony, and she's not in here right now. She's over in Children's Church Ministry, so I can say just about anything I want to. No, she gave me talking points here. She wrote here concerning her testimony. It said, had it not been for God there, she said, my parents and my aunt and uncle had to go to West Virginia for a funeral. Now, this is when they lived up there between Buffalo and Niagara Falls. They had to go to West Virginia for a funeral. I was working at Grant's department store. I was 16 years old. Dad needed me to take the car for some type of service at the service station down the road from my house. I was sitting waiting for the car to be done, and a man struck up a conversation with me. I began to tell him why I was there, that my parents had to go to West Virginia and that I had to go to work, and he asked me where I lived, and I told him. Yeah. After I left, I went to work, and I realized what I had done. I would be going home in the dark after work there to my house, and the man knew where I lived. My oldest brother and sister-in-law that lived in the area were on vacation, and I didn't know what to do. I began to pray that the Lord would help me to know what to do, and after a few hours into my shift, the front door of the store opened, and in walked my sister-in-law. She said that they had decided to come back early. Wow. I told her what had happened, and she said Bob, her oldest brother there, would be at the house when she got off work, and I should pack up my clothes and come and stay with them for the rest of the time. As I drove home up to the house there, Bob was sitting reading the paper in front of the window with the curtains open and all the lights on. I realized that God had heard my prayer and had answered it. If it had not been for the Lord working on my behalf, who knows what will have happened. You know, we can look back on things like that and we can say, if it had not been for God who answered those prayers or who did those, that intervened in those ways, what would our stupidity get us, you see? What would mistakes would we make in life? What would happen if we just got our own way, the way that we thought, you see? There are so many things that we can look at that. And so when we think about it in prayer, when we pray and we see the hand of God answer, we need to be marking those things in our mind, because that's reason to praise and thank the Lord for what He has done. If it had not been for God who answered our prayers. Isaiah 65:24, it says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Do you know that Bob and Sharon, her brother and sister that was on vacation, before this ever happened, God had them to change their plans. He knew in advance. And while she was praying, the answer was on the way. What a great testimony there. And then, had it not been for God, number five, who spoke to us in a still, small voice. Over in 1 Kings 19, we have that passage there. And here I'm going to give several illustrations, general ones in a way, one in specific. But in 1 Kings 19, in verse 11, it says there, this is Elisha there, it says, and he said, go forth. God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. God spoke to him there, And I believe this was Elijah, not Elisha. God spoke to Elijah there and in comfort and strengthened him and instructed him. And God does the same with us. Now, the majority of God's communication to us is right here in His Word. And God, through the Holy Spirit that indwells us, never speaks to us contrary to what His Word says. He'll never contradict Himself. But there are times in which the Holy Spirit that's within us will speak to us in our heart and will prompt us to do certain things or to encourage us or to comfort us, etc. And we need to be sensitive to that as in God's leading. Telling us to follow His will. Back when I was in high school in my senior year, I've given this testimony before, so I'll be brief. But I felt God was calling me into accounting. And the reasons were, it seemed like just God was opening all the doors. He gave me an interest in accounting, and I was working at a bank, and so I applied for Bob Jones University in accounting. I heard they had one of the greatest accounting degrees and programs around in the country, and so that was my plan. I had a letter from the vice president of the bank saying, look, you know, we really appreciate your faithfulness and your good work here at the bank. I guarantee you, once you get through your degree, we'll have a job here waiting for you. And I thought, you know, this is wonderful. I can see this working out. I'm going to go. I'm going to get my accounting degree. I'm going to come back. I got a job guaranteed at the bank. All of this thing is just working together. Isn't this wonderful to know God's will? Well, then, that was by January or so of 1975 there that I graduated in May, in June or something. But anyway, about this time, or a little bit before this time of the spring, God started working in my heart. And saying, hey, I want you in the ministry. And I kept saying, well, you know, Lord, Bob Jones, you know, trains ministers too. I can always change my degree. And so I had to kind of push it off that way. And I kept saying that, and I kept saying that, and found myself kept saying it. And then one night, our youth group was meeting, and Frank Hamrick was bringing a Bible lesson on the will of God. And one of the things, I don't remember everything was said, but one of the things that really gripped me was, if you've made a decision that you think is the will of God, but you don't have peace about it, that may be God's indicating to you that this is not His will. You know, just because we make a decision and the door is open to go through it doesn't mean it's God's will. We have to be careful there. Sometimes we can force the door open and in our mind tell ourselves, you know, it was an open door. And we need to be careful to look for God's direction there. But I went to Frank that night and I said to him, I said, you know, that's exactly where I am right now, Frank. I know you know that, you know, I've been accepted to Bob Jones and I was going into accounting. I've given my testimony here in the youth group. And I feel like the Lord is dealing with me to go in the ministry. And I've been kept saying that I could always change my major. Well, from there, I surrendered to go into the ministry. Frank gave me guidance at that time, wanted me to go to Piedmont Bible College. He thought that would be the best, which I believe that it was God's will there for several reasons, but at that time. But what had happened there, the way that it happened there, the Lord kept speaking to me. And that's what we read there in Isaiah 30 in verse 21, where it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. I thank the Lord that He spoke to me about that, that He didn't leave me alone, that He called me into the ministry, and that He directed me where to go. And we need to listen when God is doing that in our lives as well. So, had it not been for the Lord who spoke to us in that still small voice, spoke to me that way. We could say not only spoke to us in a still small voice about that, but also by telling us to step out by faith in a decision and being obedient to it. In Vicky's after Vicky's second year at Piedmont Bible College, by the way, she went to college her first year. She started in September when she was 16 years old, turning 17 at the end of October. She skipped her senior year of high school and got to go to college. I, on the other hand, started late to school, and then I loved the fourth grade so much I did it twice and found out I needed glasses. I did all right the second time. But so she wants me to tell that because I'm older than she is, you see, even though she graduated before me. But anyway, she was in her second year at college. It was my first year. Her going into her third year is my first year. But she had decided not to go back to college. And so she didn't go at first. Her parents went on a vacation. She went on a vacation with them. It was two weeks after school had started. And the Lord kind of dealt with her about that and said, you need to be back at college. And so she talked to her parents, and they went ahead and got her and got her down there to Piedmont. And she started college. And she didn't know at the time, but that was the year that she met a very handsome young man. And they ended up getting married. And the Lord was in all of that as well, who spoke to us in a still small voice, telling us to step out by faith in a decision and be obedient unto Him. And when we do that, God can do great things. It may be something like tithing. People have testimonies and said, hey, you know, I don't know how it's going to work. I can't see it on paper, but I'm going to step out by faith, and I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to see His hand at work. He is faithful. And telling us in that still small voice to do or to not to do something is the way that God deals with us as well. When we obey, it strengthens our resolve to be faithful unto the Lord. And then the last one, had it not been for God who comforted us in the loss of a loved one. You know, my mom passed here just recently. It may be from you, a parent that passes, a grandparent. It could be a child that you've lost. I know that even with Vicki and I believe I have a child in heaven because of... It's getting worse about this stuff. Because of a miscarriage that she had. She was long on the way there, and we lost that child. I believe that life begins at conception. So one day I believe there'll be a reunion. You know, we tried after that, and it seemed like the Lord wouldn't give us any other child until Lisa came along. And now within, 3 weeks? 2 weeks? So coming fast. She'll stand here and say, I do, and be married. But with all of that, the Lord is there. Had it not been for the Lord that comforts us, that strengthens us, how could we go through different things? I know that there have been Christians within our church that have had a testimony that people have told me, I watched what they went through in their health problems. I watched what they went through in their difficulty of loved one passing. I watched, and I don't know how they handled it as they did. And it's not that they handled it, but had it not been for God, who says, my grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And His purpose is seen as well in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, where He says, the God of all comfort, who comforts us when we're going through any trial, so that we may comfort others, you see. And so we see the sufficiency of God. And had it not been for God, we walk those paths alone. Amen. And so those things in mind, why does God allow the waters of affliction anyway? Why have there got to be those rough times? Why have there got to be those uncertainties and fearful times? Why have there got to be those sorrowful times in our life? Matthew Henry, the great commentator and preacher, said this. He says, God permits the enemy of His people sometimes to prevail very far against them, that His power may be seen the more in their deliverance. Amen. Sometimes God lets us and lets the devil go a certain way with us so that when God delivers, it can be said, had it not been for God. And I hope that you can be able to look in your life and begin to see some things and say, Lord, had it not been for You in this area of my life, what would it have been like? And be able to see God's deliverance. When you look into the events of your life, do you see God? God wants to do that work in you. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He has done a good work. He started that work in you. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hebrews 13:21, speaking of the God of peace, he says, may he make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And as I began this message, I told you the reason, had it not been for God, is for us to look back and say with thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord, thank you, Lord, for what you intervened in my life. Thank you for what you've done. When we begin to recall the specific things in our life, had it not been for God, then it strengthens us to continue. It helps us to see God's work in our life, which also encourages us to be faithful. And had it not been for God working in our life for salvation originally, where would we be? One song says it this way: had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for God. Every Christian has at least one had it not been for your salvation. And I pray that you would discover many other had it not been for God and be able to praise God as well. Let's be dismissed. As you close your eyes, I want you to think about that. I said earlier, and just then as well, that we ought to recall the things that God has done in intervening in our life, that we could give praise had it not been for God. But I know also that there's possibility that some of you are sitting here as believers, and yet at a loss to be able to think of something specific that you can say in your life had it not been for God. Would you take the time today to talk to the Lord alone and say, Lord, help me to see where your hand has been? And secondly, help me to depend on you more so that your hand will be active in my life. Sometimes when we don't see the hand of God, it's because we're not giving him any room to work. We're trying to work everything out on our own. But when we depend on him and he shows himself faithful, and he always will, that's when we can see and we can say, had it not been for God. Father, I pray that as believers today, that we would have that testimony. And if not, that we would seek that testimony by stepping out and trusting you, that we may see your hand at work in us. Father, that's what you desire. Lord, I pray also for anyone here that has not made that choice personally to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. May they seek him this morning before they leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.